We are back in order. Okay, do we have a quorum, or are we going to adjourn? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yes, we've got a quorum.
Okay. Yep. All right, I'm going to start, and the other PMB directors can chime in. The PMB has been focused on several things. Two primary things, the financial situation at Pacifica and throughout the network, and the hiring of a new executive director. I'll deal with the financial situation first. We've approved budgets now. Budgets, the way budgets work is they're forwarded by the local station boards to the National Finance Committee, which reviews them and discusses them and brings them to the PMB. And this year, all the budgets were brought forward with a number of different provisos, and provisos are directives to the station about how to manage, I think, their budgets. And Quincy referred in his report to the PMB resolution. That was the resolution that approved the KPFA budget, but had a number of contingencies attached to it. And we've done that now for every station except WPFW. We literally ran out of time the other night. It was midnight in New York, and we had to get off the phone. We haven't. The WPFW, that's the Washington station, their budget has not been approved. Their budget was the only one that came from the NFC without provisos, because they're doing quite well and seem to be able to raise the money they think they're going to be able to raise and pay their bills. They're also moving next in March into a new facility. I know that there was some discussion, I don't know if it I don't remember where it came up, about the question, Barbara talked about it, the issue of WBAI in New York not using Great Plains. And Great Plains is the accounting system that the entire network uses and that does something, deals with all the numbers and all the aspects that come from every station. It's like the big accountant in the sky. So there's this question about whether WBAI uses Great Plains. The fact of the matter is that the WBAI does use Great Plains, but it's sort of complicated, and I just wanted to clarify that. WBAI's general manager keeps records on QuickBooks so that he can make quick and dirty reports to the LSB, to the management team at BAI. But in addition to that, the bookkeeper at the station in Texas, KPFT, also works part-time for WBAI, and she does post their income and expenditures to the Great Plains. There have been problems because of problems with some items not having been put into the system, that it's very difficult at this point to make reports, but that's being worked on by our CFO and by the general manager in New York and the bookkeeper in Texas. That said, and I wanted to say that this year the national office sent out an end-of-year mailing. We didn't do it last year because we were, I'm not sure why, but there was no mailing last year at the end of the year, which is sort of normal for nonprofits. You know, you send out a letter and say, put us in your tax bracket, tax thing for taxes, and give us some money. We had a letter which was signed by Ralph Nader, which is available on the Pacifica website if anybody wants to see it, and an endorsement from Amy Goodman, which was on the envelope that contained the mailing. We sent out 15,000 pieces, and the letter went out just before Christmas. And the first day that we received donations, the day after Christmas, we received enough money to cover the costs of the mailing. So I personally was very excited about that because I was very worried about whether that was going to happen. Since then, we've brought in about an additional $20,000, and money comes in literally every day. We get checks from people who have gotten that mailing and are sending in money. So I think that's good. But the financial situation is extremely dire because both KPFK and KPFA have not been able to pay their full central services allocation. The national office is minding its pennies very closely and making sure that we pay necessary bills and try and put money aside to pay things that we know are coming down the pike, like the costs for the audits, both for 2013 and 2014. And we need money. And I talked earlier about, you know, one person who was going to give us some money who backed off because of the what he perceives as the infighting in the organization. The other thing that we've been focused on is the hiring of an executive director. Our personnel committee worked very hard. We actually got a very impressive group of applicants, I would say. And last Sunday, the PMB spent 6 hours on the phone interviewing more than 6 hours on the phone. Oh, it was more like 8 hours, right? Yeah. Interviewing six candidates, and we are in the process now of going through a selection process. And so sit tight. We're moving forward towards hiring an executive director, which pleases me no end. We have hired because of a board resolution, we have hired a national election supervisor who is at this very moment looking into ways to run our elections more economically than they were run last year, with the hope that we will actually be able to afford to have elections. Oh, yeah, 2012. All those years in between disappeared, right? Okay. Yeah, 2012. We had an election in 2012. We haven't had one since. And that's ongoing. We elected our PMB representatives this morning, KPFK will elect theirs tomorrow, and that's the last station to elect PMB representatives. Washington, New York, and Texas elected theirs earlier in the month. And the new PMB, there are some actual changes. One member changed in New York, one member changed in Washington, and two members changed in Texas. And, of course, we don't know what the outcome of the KPFA election will be. So there will be... Oh, yes, and one of the two affiliate directors changed. So... but the new board, whatever its composition, will be seated at a special PMB meeting, which is taking place on the phone next Thursday, January 29th. And that is the end of my report.
Okay. Janet, I've got a list, but I think the PMB people should be able to speak first. I got you on the list.
Okay, so just a little bit more about the elections. So the election committee has been meeting with the governance committee twice, and there's another meeting coming up, a joint committee, to try to work out how to have an election in this year, right? And it looks like it's going to happen, but we have to figure out how to do it. There are currently two proposals. One, which is mine, happens to be mine, is to have, since we didn't have one 2013, 2014, so that was 12 delegates, LSB members, that never happened, that election. And then, according to the bylaws, a regular election is supposed to happen in 2015, so 12 more. So that adds up to 24 delegates that should be, in my opinion, elected this year, right? So the model would be that of like the transition election in 2003, when half the members had 1 year terms and the other half had 3 year terms, that kind of thing. Anyway, something on that model. The other proposal is to have one election in 2013, but just for 12 delegates, which means 2015. Sorry, which means that the other 12 would be those who had terms starting from the 2012 election, and their terms would be extended yet another year. Anyway, so that still has not been ironed out. But still, even if the election committee decides on something, the PNB would have to approve whatever. And anyway, that's it.
Jose Luis O'Brien, you want to add anything at this point?
I'll answer questions.
Okay.
So on the governance committee, we have bylaw amendments, and we yet to do bylaw amendments twice a year. So we should be thinking about bylaw amendments if that's needed. I believe it is needed in order to accomplish what Janet is suggesting, to have these elections combined as a transition year, because we would be in violations of bylaws unless the bylaws are amended to make that occur.
Janet.
Well, any election that we have this year violates bylaws. So there's no way that anything could be done without violating some of the bylaws. And I'll post both the proposals so far that are out there with I compared the two. It's pretty detailed and lengthy, but just if you're interested, I'll post them to the LSB.
Okay. Mal.
I just had a question, and that is, in looking at the financial report that we got earlier, it seems to me that KPFA is on budget per this report, and I'm wondering on what basis the PNB voted to require KPFA to cut staff and save money if we're doing per budget now.
Brian.
Well, first of all, to clarify, the PNB did not mandate cutting staff. It said develop a plan. Right? Pulling the trigger on that plan is separate. And the basis was financial statements through November. We did not have these hot off the press financial statements yet. And also KPFA's inability to pay its bills as it came due. KPFA has not been paying its dues in full to the national office, which is producing cascading problems there, and had to borrow money from the national office to make its mid-month payroll in December in the midst of our fund drive. So that was why that conversation started at the finance committee level and moved to the national office level. I would agree with you that level of cut is probably not necessary if these figures bear out. I still don't fully understand the gap between where our cash is and where these financial statements indicate we should be. But maybe we'll get some clarity on that in the next couple days.
Okay, I have on the list Barb, David, and Don.
I have a question. I have a couple questions. Margie, you said that KPFA and KPFK haven't paid all their central services. Are you saying the other stations have? Okay. Also,
let me be clear. KPFT and WPFW, our two smallest stations, are totally up to date, pay their bills, pay their health care bill backs. WBAI has not paid central services and owes money to the national office for health care.
Right. So they owe for health care. Who else owes for health care?
Nobody.
The other stations who pay their health care to the national office have paid it then?
Yes.
Okay. And this election possibility, do you know what month, whether it's how many years it covers. Do you know when, is there a month it's been chosen that it might take place?
So one of the differences between the two proposals is one of them would be, well, one of them would be the regular schedule, the one with the 24. So the seating would be in the December meeting of this year.
So the election the other itself one, would be like October,
yeah, September. Yeah, whenever right. normally is, although the last one was delayed, wasn't it? But the other one would start earlier, maybe, I don't know, I can't remember, June or July or, I mean, the balloting is supposedly would be then.
What the reason,
and the seating it was is not clear
I'm
in
more
that proposal.
Asking about the expense that's going to be incurred, when we're going to start it.
Oh, well,
so we need to
we don't know yet.
For budgeting. For
well,
fitting.
Budgeting includes an election or... yeah.
Yes.
So it's already there as far as I know.
Okay, so let me just once again explain the difference between financials, budgets, and cash flow. The budget, we budgeted early on this year. Now it's becoming a cash flow item because we are under budget in elections, right, as of right now. Right. But now I have to remember to, you know, so I just want to, as soon as you guys know, please.
I think David and then Don.
Yeah, I see in the minutes from our last meeting that WBAI, several questions maybe they could be answered all at once. WBAI has been paying $12,000 a month for its Empire State Building transmitter, down from $50,000 a month. $55,000? Okay. And I wondered why is it suddenly only $12,000 a month instead of $50 or $55,000? That's the first question. The second question is, it says that the archives fell short by half in its latest fund drive. Yep. So who pays their bills, or what happens when you fall short by half? That's my second question. Then the third question is, we hear a lot of generalities about the terrible state of the financials. And we just heard from Margie that this situation is extremely dire. So I'm very confused here because we have this kind of glowing, seemingly, report compared to the budget. Compared to the budget, we had a gloomy report from the general manager about our station. And I just don't have a clear picture of what's going on here. Is this smoke and mirrors, accounting tricks, or what's the situation in each of these stations?
So to your first question about the archive, they're operating under a separate mandate from the National Board to either cut $9,000 a month in spending or to raise it by other means. They haven't hit the inability to pay their bills yet because they do those 2 days of fundraising to pay for two-thirds of their year, right? So they don't run out of money right away. But there's, I mean, you're right, there's basically no money anywhere else in the network to bail them out. In flusher years, when they've had shortages, they've looked to the national office to pay their bills. In terms of how is the whole network doing, KPFT is holding steady with its budget. To hold steady, they've had to cut down to 7 staff positions. WBAI has cut down to 7 staff positions over the course of the past few years, dramatically lowered its studio rent, and they're in the process of getting a formal agreement to lower their transmitter rent, which they're currently only paying part of already, and they're still not able to keep up with their bills. WPFW is paying its bills currently. They were in bad shape last year, partly because of transmitter problems that they seem to have fixed. KPFK, KPFK has two problems. They were already running a deficit from what we can tell. They have the worst accounting in the network, so it's hard to get an accurate picture. And they have been cut off by the CPB because their audience is not large enough, which means even when we get Pacifica's eligibility for CPB funding reinstated, there will be no money for them at the end of the tunnel. So with KPFA, we can look to temporary problems like trouble paying bills this month and say, well, you know, how do we work the cash flow rather than how do we make long-term structural cuts that might damage the station? At KPFK, there's nothing to manage towards. There's no pot of money waiting for them on that front. So I don't know if that's helpful, but...
Yeah, Janet, and Rich, would you turn off your flashlight?
So I again urge this body to invite the CFO to come here to give another perspective on the situation, because that he has his information is comes from a different perspective and would answer perhaps some of your questions. I'm not saying to do that today. I'm just urging that this happen.
Margie?
I just want to comment on the difference between extremely dire and glowing. So I think the KPFA report is very encouraging. The national office should be raising money, but hasn't been raising money on its own. And so it depends on the central services from the local stations, which is a shared fee. One of the problems in the national office is that we are paying off very old and sometimes very expensive debts, settlement agreements that were made in a court of law to pay off a particular debt and that were never honored. Bills that haven't gone to court but which are threatening to go to court, and bills where we simply owe people money and they're asking us to pay. Without those, we could have a much lower central service fee, but the central service fee is what it is. It pays the salaries of the people in the national office, and it pays the bills. Because the two biggest stations in the network are not able to pay their full central services, the situation in the national office is dire. I mean, it's very, you know, we have to be extremely careful to make it, you know, from one set of bills to another. If everybody was paying their full central services, we would be able to resolve a number of the old issues very quickly. We'd be able to do a bunch of things, including maybe even hire someone to help us with fundraising at a national level. But that simply isn't the case. And the two stations that are paying and paying regularly and are totally to be honored for that are two of our smaller stations. And since the fees are based, you know, it's a percentage of the total thing. So while they pay their bills every month, it isn't as much money as if the big stations were paying. Is that clear? Did I make that clear?
Don.
So Janet, is this on? David?
Yeah.
On the elections. Is it possible that both elections can be held at the same time for both? Is that the proposal that you've made? Not quite. Okay. And then the other is there any thought being given to change the bylaws so that people serve for a longer period of time on LSBs rather than two elections every 3 years, which turn out to be fairly costly again for the network and for the individual stations?
Yeah, so the first question, it's really not two elections, holding two elections in 1 year. Oh,
I meant that that both years would be merged into one election.
Right.
That's your proposal.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And so it would be one election. And the other question is, there has been some discussion about, or some people are thinking about options about lengths of terms and all that.
Jose Luis.
On the election issue, so the PNB passed a motion that candidates' nominations open on March 2nd, 2051.
2051?
Correct.
Yeah, we're pushing it back to save money.
I think you mean 2015.
I'm sorry, my little dyslexia.
He thinks ahead.
2015. So March 2nd, 2015, they open, they close on April 1st, 2015, and we're looking at some ballot counting on July 21st, 2015. So if that helps Barbara with accounting, I sent you this schedule for when payments would be due.
I have one more question for Margie about the money at the national office.
Could I just respond to what Jose Luis just said?
Yeah.
So, yes, that was passed by the PNB, but it was not clear what the 2015 election was, whether it was going to be for the 12 delegates or the or 24 or whatever. So that's what the election committee is dealing with.
And the question I had for Margie about national office finances, how are they going to pay for this new executive director? It's in the
budget.
Okay.
Let me just comment on the question of the election schedule. That motion was amended to say something about depending on what the National Election Supervisor thinks is reasonable, because because under our bylaws, the National Election Supervisor runs the elections. That's how it works. And so, anyway, so that may not be the schedule.
Okay. Oh, no, David.
One of my questions was actually not answered, which was the, it says here in the minutes from the last LSB that WBAI was paying $12,000 a month, down from 50 to 55. So does that mean they have less power, or they just got a discount, or is that it? They just got a discount.
While they're negotiating over changing the terms of their lease, the landlord's accepting payments at that level. The landlord could still, if those negotiations don't work out, theoretically ask for back rent in the full amount.
Follow up?
Yeah, and when you said that the two biggest stations, is that KPFA and WBAI? Are those the two biggest? Is that correct? Oh, A and K are the two biggest ones. Although you say that K has too small an audience. In Los Angeles, they have too small an audience. Is that correct?
Don, can I answer? Okay. So the CPB has a threshold, and it's about the percentage of the people your signal reaches who listen. So it's percentage-based. And the KPFK apparently did not meet that threshold.
What about BAI?
I haven't heard anything about it. Have you, Margie?
Okay.
Then my last question was about WBAI. Was that, is that station threatened now? In other words, there was some talk that they were going to move their transmitter from the Empire State Building to another location, which would be a lot cheaper but would have less coverage of population reached. Or what is the story there? That's my last question.
The national board's not considering any proposals to do anything like that. It doesn't mean they wouldn't come up, but like there's nothing in progress on that front.
Once again. Okay. All right. Thank you very much, PNB reps. And now we go to the CAB report. And this, I think, historically is what, 3 minutes? Is that what we give for five?
Five.
Okay.
So I'm Robin Collin with the Community Advisory Board, and we've been working really hard on putting together a programmer and community event, bringing different community organizations together with different programmers. And we've tried to invite everyone. We've mentioned it to the GM and to Laura, but we do apparently need to get an all-staff email out to everyone. All of our CAB members have contacted people we know in both the programming side and the community side. But we are planning this event for February 22nd from 1:30 to 3:30 at the Berkeley Public Library. As I say, many individuals and community organizations have been invited and are responding that they are coming. The program format we've decided on will include a large circle with brief introductions, followed by a small breakout of groups on chosen topics that come up during the brief introductions, breakout groups with the programmers, followed by an open network follow-up communication. The CAB is also noticing that the volunteer level of staffing isn't what we would like. The Community Advisory Board encourages the station to recruit, organize, and establish a communication system through on-air carts and an email system to notify potential volunteers for events and phone room activities for the upcoming fund drive January 27th. CAB members also are concerned about the state of the audit, both the federal IRS audit and the state attorney general audit, and how it will affect the station. And we are also looking at the form that we have for nominating new CAB members is out of date, and the one on the website is out of date. We need a current one, and we need to look for more youth and diversity on the CAB.
Carol, thank you. And one of the things we've been thinking about is how can the station provide local community news and public affairs coverage at events like Black Lives Matter, the whole series of events, and also with the Climate Change March. How can we do that and at the same time for the station to sustain itself financially? And it's a question that we hold, and one of the reasons we're doing this event with the programmers and the community is to try and build relationships so that we can get funds coming in when people are seeing, you know, you're out at the events, you're covering the events, you know, you're interviewing the leaders of different events, that then they're more inclined to give money and to build the relationships so they know how to give the money and where to give it and when. And so I also wanted to let you know that there will be a fundraising event at the Gilman Youth Collective for those of you who have mohawks and piercings. And that will be April 24th at the Gilman Club, and that will be a KPFA benefit. So thanks.
You don't have to.
Stay up there, because Don and then Jana, and I don't know if other people want to say this. Don.
Two questions, one of which I asked you earlier, but let me start with the first one. What is the formal legal definition and responsibility of the Community Advisory Board as prescribed by PBS? CPB.
Well, there are both CPB and then there is the mandate from the bylaws. So I don't have those documents here with me, but they are available online.
So you don't know what the mission of the CAB is under CPB?
We do. It's to represent the interests of the community and to report those to the local station board and the management.
And how is it supposed to do that?
You know, that depends. Actually, that's a really important question. It depends on how the particular needs of the community. In this case, in this area, we have a long history of activism, and we have a long history of many, many organizations in this community. So and we have such a large signal range and so many cities involved. So it's a somewhat daunting task. And at the same time, we are trying to reach out to the community, to as many organizations, to be in contact with people in the signal range, to build relationships so that we can report the interests of the community.
Okay. So my second question, which I raised to you informally, but I want to put on the record, was you've handed out a flyer here saying a radio media network event with community and KPFA staff. And when I asked you how did you contact KPFA staff and have they been contacted, what did you say?
Well, first of all, I want to be seen for our intentions of doing the best we can to do outreach in the community. And I did acknowledge that we had attempted to contact the station manager, and we had attempted to contact Laura Purvis, and we have talked to different people, and we did bring this to the local station board last month. So we are doing the best we can and wanting to be seen for our intentions of trying to build relationships with the community, with KPFA, and raise you know, help to support financial sustainability of the station as well as outreach.
But in point of fact, you have not reached out to the entire KPFA staff to alert them that this is happening and whether they want to participate.
We attempted to do that, and we did the best we could. Thank you.
Janet, and then Bert.
Okay, so first I want to thank everybody who has been involved with the Community Advisory Board for all the work that you've done, and the events that you have organized, and I don't remember whether you post your reports to the KPFA LSB list. And if you don't, would you please do that? The other thing is that Robin asked or brought up the AG audit, which we didn't address here. So I would like Margie, if she would, to give a little report, if that would be okay.
Probably because I'm drowning in it, I can't see it. I think people are familiar. The Attorney General informed us in January that it was conducting what's called a correspondence audit, which that means they just ask you for documents. They don't send people into your office unannounced to rifle through your file cabinets. So the first thing was that the AG's audit is very extensive. There are 23 items on it, and some of them involve literally volumes of documents. We were able to work out two things with the AG. One is that we got the deadline extended to February 17th from January 16th, and the AG agreed to accept our reply electronically, which is, you know, going to save about 100 trees. So So those two things, and we are plugging away at it. Various members of the organization are doing their part. I just got someone yesterday to agree, for example, to get me all of the minutes from the WBAI LSB from the coverage of the audit is January 1, 2010 to date. So it's very extensive and you know, anyway. And we're working away we're gonna do it. We're gonna answer all these questions, get all these documents together and send them to the AG. What the outcome will be, nobody knows. It apparently, is not uncommon for, the AG to do a correspondence audit and not issue. Sometimes they never issue a report. Sometimes they issue reports in a relatively short period of time. Sometimes they issue reports after years. So you know, we don't know, and they don't tell you anything. They don't tell us why the audit was initiated. They don't tell us what they're after. They just ask for all of this documentation. I personally think it's good. It's daunting and it's difficult, but I think it's really good for Pacifica to have to look at, for example, all of the policies and procedures that have been adopted in the 5 years from 2010 to present. And that's one of their questions. And those things don't exist in any discrete place. You have to go and look at through minutes of PNB meetings, over many, many months and in order to find the policies. And so we will end up with having a specific document that includes all of the policies. Janet Coburn is working on that project, and I'm very grateful for that. We also are getting minutes, which have been in scattered locations, sometimes existing only on the laptops of LSB secretaries. Those will all be gathered and put in one place. There are tremendous awards for us in this, but it's hard and it's difficult and it's on a day-to-day basis a little overwhelming. But we're working on it.
Thank you.
Okay.
You want to get up? Do you want to stand up?
Did somebody have a question? David. Oh, Burton is next.
First of all, I'd like to offer my congratulations to the committee for the hard work and the creative activity and the spirit of trying to find ways to help the station. Thank you very much, and I hope you would pass that view on to your colleagues. For the rest of my remarks, I'm going to sound like an old curmudgeon, and forgive me for that. But I'm a bit troubled by the following. Is it Robin, the first speaker, spoke about, we have mentioned it to the general manager and the program director, and the second speaker said, we tried to bring up the issue to the program director and the general manager, and we not yet completed an outreach to the staff. And I'm very troubled by not having a clear idea that this creative thinking on the part of the committee has been coordinated with those bodies within the station that are empowered to make policy decisions, that is the general manager, the program director, and this board. So I don't want my remarks to be read as discouraging the work, the creative work, but I am fearful that we and I'm not making, I don't know enough about it, but it is troubling to me to think that there may be various portions of the KPFA community that are making decisions, however good or bad, and they're not coordinated through the people responsible for running the station. And I have to share with you that concern.
I'd like to respond. As again, I want to say we want to be seen for our intentions to connect and to do things in appropriate ways through the station. And there has been some challenge and confusion for us as board members to know who and how to contact and in what way. And we plan to follow through on this as soon as possible. And I'm hoping that we'll be able to work out and move forward with this event in a really positive way.
I would, if I were doing it, I would do more than mention to or try to contact the general manager. I would want to coordinate it with him. That's the official that this board has assigned the responsibility of running the station. And I would, no matter how much I would applaud the work of a committee, I would oppose its right to go off on its own. And I really just have to share with you that view. And you may agree with me that it's the view of a curmudgeon.
Frank, and then Brian, and then David. David was first, so David, I didn't see him. So David, then Frank, then Brian.
Okay, the first thing I'd like to respond to what Burton said, and then I have a question for Margie about the audit. I appreciate, and I think I'm sure the people on the cab also appreciate the need to coordinate with the people in the station. So I don't, that's given, and they've tried to, apparently. But I do think that the reason for the cab is it's not identical to the management of the station. It's a community advisory board with its own ideas, and it's that kind of input that the station needs. So I don't think we need to have unanimity between the station management and the community advisory board, although I'm sure on most issues they would agree. Anyway, I just wanted to make that parenthetical note. The question that I have, Margie, is about the audit. Is this a fishing expedition? What is the purpose of this? How did it happen? And what is the purpose of this audit, the state sticking their nose in the affairs of this foundation? I'm very troubled by that. And, you know, not to say that, you know, people can't request help if they feel they need it, but I don't know that the state is always going to be helpful.
Okay. So like I said, the Attorney General doesn't tell you why they're conducting. They won't tell you what triggered this audit. They won't even tell you if they've gotten complaints or requests. However, we know that some people have approached the Attorney General and asked the Attorney General to conduct an audit because people have said that publicly. So
who?
The PDGG who filed the lawsuit against the foundation, but going back past many people on different sides of the split in the organization have approached the Attorney General. So we don't know what started it. The only complaints that we know about are ones that people have talked about publicly. There may be many other complaints that were never discussed publicly that we don't know about, and the Attorney General isn't going to tell us about them because that's not how they work. Is it a fishing expedition? I have no idea. I mean, I think about it, you know, like how in the world, how many people do they have to go over this enormous vault? You know, they want all our financial records back to January 1st, 2010. That in itself, every canceled check, they want copies of every canceled check. It's huge. So I don't know how to answer your question, Dave. I have no idea. you know, looking at it positively, I don't think that, I'm not so concerned about what harm will come to the organization as a result of this, although maybe some will, but I am concerned about the amount of staff time and human energy that's going to go into producing the volume of material. And so there you go. That's the story.
Okay, there's two threads here going on, and one of them has to do with the audit, which is really a PNB report item, not a CAB report. And the other has to do with the CAB. And I've got different lists. People have jumped in, and I have split the lists, and maybe inappropriately. But my inclination here is to go to the discussion of the CAB. And I have, for the CAB, I have, I think I said Mal and Brian. Did somebody else want to? Okay, how many times have you spoken on this? Once? Okay, go ahead. You wanted to speak on the AG. Oh, go ahead, Mal.
Gee, I thought I had to. With respect to the CAB, it seems to me they're advisory. If they're advisory, to whom are they advisory? They're not advisory to us because we don't control the workings of the station. If they are advisory to the station, that is to the general manager, and therefore I think it appropriate to request that they at least speak first to the general manager and only come to us with a problem that they face with the general manager, and otherwise they are advisory to the station management and not to us.
Actually, we are charged with.
Wait. I would like you to have Frank, and then so that there's just, you know, let's make this a little tighter, and then I'll give you a chance to respond to all the stuff that comes up again.
Mine was just a little advisory for the advisory board. Also, what Dave said, I think I agree with what Dave said about being kind of a separate entity, a separate mindset. But the way I've struggled to get staff emails out myself, you know, it's a process. You could not just send a staff email on your own. You have to get approval from a staff, one of the couple people. So what I found works best for me to get a staff email out is I write my email, and then to who I want it to go to, I make a little note, and I'll send it to Maria, Antonio, and now Laura, and ask them if they could please send a staff email out. And then my understanding from there is that the general manager looks at it, or they agree or not agree. But usually they just go out, you know, and then you could ask, you know, did they tell you if it went out or not. So that's just how I have done it in the past. Send it to those three people, and if you need their emails, I can get them for you.
Okay.
Oh, it's your time to respond now.
It's okay.
Okay. On this?
Just want to remind people, I don't have the CPB regs in front of me, which governs a lot of what the CAB is for. But I do want to remind this board that this board appoints people to the CAB. We appoint people, and I'm glad to hear that the CAB is looking at the nomination form. I think it's supposed to be on an annual basis. One of the things, just from a record-keeping point of view, is I've wanted to kind of get us back on track. The CAB has kind of languished in benign neglect for a number of years, and it's great that people are kind of doing this, being active and kind of and bringing these things up and getting out there. But I think this board has an obligation to tighten up on its record keeping so we know, for instance, what the terms of the CAB members are, who's on the CAB, you know, that kind of just basic stuff. So I'm just kind of hanging that out there as a reminder to all of us, and I will pledge to try to follow up on that. So, but we do appoint members of the CAB based on nominations and that are solicited from the community.
Cynthia. You've got to have to use
As a point of information then, Brian, could you read that briefly? What is the relationship of the CPB then with that that says about the regs for the CAB? Just even though I should.
Mike.
You're asking about the CAB's purpose?
Well, that the CPB says. Yes, please.
Well, you don't have a fiduciary responsibility, you'll be pleased to know, because you're not in charge of any assets. The role of the board shall be solely advisory in nature, and to the governing board of the station.
Well, that's us.
Well, it's the PNB through us, because we're a committee of the PNB. Shall be permitted to review the programming goals established by the station, the service provided by the station, and the significant policy decisions rendered by the station.
Well, I'll... Can I just say I'm grateful that we have, as you said, a CAB that is at least advising. And I, you know, I would, this is a board, this is an LSB that has never approved a program council. So, I mean, let's be grateful for community input. Even though I'm also grateful for curmudgeons.
Okay, I think that we've done enough.
I have the sentence I think you were looking for. The board shall advise the governing body of the station with respect to whether the programming and other policies of such station are meeting the specialized educational and cultural needs of the communities served by the station, and may make such recommendations as it considers appropriate to meet such needs.
Okay. All right. I think that that is the end of the CAP report. And are we going to go back to the audit? I mean, I think we've... All right, one thing. I mean, this is part of the PNB report, really. That's
right, but we didn't touch on it. So, I first want to correct one thing that Margie said. I don't believe the PDGG sent a complaint. It was former directors that sent a complaint. But in any case, there have been, from what I understand, multiple complaints over the years. We don't know. And what spurred this on at this time, we don't know, or I don't know. And this is an audit. It's not an investigation. There are no conditions, you know, if you don't da-da-da-da, then what. We did get another letter from the AG's office, a separate office or something, where there were those conditions, and we took care of that. But this, we don't know what they're going to do with it. And I hope that whatever the documentation that we come up with will be go on the Pacifica website, or, you know, the policies and all that, so it's not just kept in a computer, that we all can have access to much of what we have to supply to the AG's office.
Okay, KFCF.
Thank you. Things at KFCF financially are a little tight, and to blend a few phrases, cash flows downhill. And with KPFA having some cash flow problems, that's affected KFCF because we have not always been getting the money that's been raised on KFCF's behalf in a timely manner. So it's been very tight for us, especially during this first quarter when all of the musical royalties, BMI, ASCAP, CSAC, all the insurance for directors and officers, liability, and the slander and libel insurance all come due about the same time. So it's kind of tight for us right now. So that said, that is one issue with us. The other one is somehow it seems like people and equipment at KFCF seems to know when I'm up here and always manages to have something happen. Somebody, while we were at the meeting here a little while ago, went into the studio, turned the studio on the air, turned everything down and left. So we had dead air. So I've been dealing with that for the last 20 minutes or so, or half hour. Last time I was up here at 9 a.m. while all the Black Lives Matter rally from Washington, D.C. was being aired at 9 o'clock a.m., we had a distribution amplifier, and our audio chain fail and put a nice hum on the air starting at 9 a.m. Nobody thought to tell me because everybody thought, oh, Rich will fix it. And nobody called me. Nobody told me. It wasn't until I was on my way back and got within range that I heard what happened. And I went back and could catch from the archives what happened. But it was – so anyway, that always seems like that's fun. But we're struggling along. We're surviving. And hopefully as things pick up with Pacific and KPFA, that'll help us out financially through the rough spot for us.
Okay. Thank you. So now we have old business, right? And we have, is that right? I just put away my agenda for some reason. Here it is. So the budget workshop update, Janet, can we have it in February?
Right, there's nothing to update at this point. When you say can we have it, the update or the budget workshop?
The budget workshop.
Okay, we'll work on it.
We have a
date. Okay.
Right.
And we'll need sort of a time frame, or can it be flexible based on the availability?
Yeah.
Okay.
How long is it?
An hour? Just an hour?
Okay.
Excellent.
All right. And do I hear a the second? Okay. There's nothing on the agenda. No, that's Andrea moves that. She's not here. We've got a motion to adjourn and seconded on the floor. All in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? We're adjourned.